as I decrease, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to just pour your blood over my shortcomings and my faults and the sins that I commit in this body, Father God, as we confess them all towards you, Lord God, that we may be stand to be used by you, Lord God, that there's nothing hindering you to use me, Lord God. In Jesus' name we ask in the prayer, and we thank you for what you're going to do in advance, and we give you glory and honor, for you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Turn to St. John's, the fifth chapter. When you have it at the first verse, say amen. Hallelujah. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is a Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had the infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Look at somebody and say, "Are you tired yet?" Listen. I'm a firm believer that we are messing up the concept of being in Christ at the point where we're messing up people's salvations, because we have such hope that they catch on to what we believe, that we really force people to come into Christ, force people to go to church, and some of them not quite ready, that some folks actually come up to the altar to be saved or join ministry, not for them, not that they tired, but just because to get you off of their backs. And it tickles me, because we, in being church folks, are treating something so precious and so wonderful that is a privilege to be in, like it's garbage that anybody can just come into this movement and act and do whatever they want to do, and everything is going to be okay, and God's going to accept them. And I'm at a place where I'm beginning to not only love my salvation, but I'm beginning to set my salvation and the salvation of other true members in the body of Christ apart from those that want to play games. I'm at a place now where I understood why he had them listed in categories. The three that he was closest with, the 12 disciples, the 120 that was in the upper room, and the multitude. I'm beginning to understand that at different levels do we know Jesus. But not all of us want to know him at the level of where he's my friend. He's somebody I want to be with 24/7. Some of us don't even want to get in the upper room with him. Some of us don't want to be disciples for him, because to be a disciple, it costs. That's what I'm preaching on Wednesday night, the cost of discipleship. It costs. It costs you leaving your father and your mother. It costs you leaving your job sometime. It costs you going on by yourself. It's a cost. Hallelujah. That it getting to the place where we as being those that has elevated up and the closer we are messing up because we forcing the multitude and trying to shake them to get them to see what we see. And one of the worst things is inside church when you dealing with your loved ones. Because in dealing with loved ones, we have a tendency to hinder the movement of God in loved ones' lives. Some of us be praying some crazy prayers for our loved ones and think we're doing the work of the Lord so much that we're actually hindering the movement of God. I thank God for my mama, but more than that, I thank God that I have the mother that would tell me and talk to me about some of the things that I didn't know. She told me one time that she used to pray every time I leave the house. She used to pray every time I leave the house, go on her knees and pray. She would call her friends and family ones when we used to get in trouble and pray for us. Oh my gosh, she used to come to the altar on Sunday mornings and pray for us. It was at the place that her prayers was hindering the movement of God in my life. I'm going somewhere, stick with me. That when God goes to do something to me to catch my attention, he sees mama's prayers and he loves her so much that he answers her prayers. Y'all don't believe it can happen that way? There was a mother that belongs to a son named Jesus that when she came up to him and say, hey, they ran out of wine. He looked at her and said, woman, don't you know it ain't my time yet? He turned around, she did, and went to do whatever he said to do and walked off. And the conversation that people missed was the conversation that was never spoken. And the conversation was never spoken was the conversation that she had with God in her prayers. That he loved her so much that he honored her request, even though it was moving him to do miracles before his time. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here today. And beginning to understand me that the prayers of the righteous is available much. He never said what you pray is available much. He just said, because you're righteous, I take in consideration that what you pray. And that what you pray, I'll probably end up doing it for you because you're righteous. Is that the place that now me, being somebody that's righteous, is in the upper echelons of being in Christ, is hindering the multitude inside Jesus. Oh my gosh, that's a sad thing when you're praying against the will of God. Because we ain't even understanding what God truly wants. We don't understand how God moves and God operates. We don't understand that God takes bad situation and works it out for our good. We don't understand that all of us can't live out in the world a good life. Some of us need to have some ups and downs. Some of us need to have some turnovers. Some of us need to understand that we cannot live off our mothers and our fathers, our loved one prayers. Hallelujah. At the place right now where some of y'all praying for some folks to come into church. God never told you to pray for them to come to church. God don't want them in church right now. God actually want them in the world. He wants them in the muck and the clay. He wants them on drugs. I'm preached different. He wants them to be an alcoholic. He wants them to be incarcerated. Because they got to get to the place where they are tired. You moving them inside church is only going to be a short term healing, a short-term deliverance, a short-term release. Because after a while, they'll leave church and go back out in the world. Because you cannot stay in church off of fear. Hallelujah. You can't stay in church after saying that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior off your mother and your daddy prayer. After a while, once your name is put on the roll and it's been highlighted in God, he steps away from your mother covering, your father covering, and look at your relationship with God. Is that the place where we sometimes need to back off and leave them be? Stop calling pastors and first lady. Can you pray for them? Because some of y'all don't want to know what I pray when I pray. Because my first prayer when somebody say prayer, I say, Lord, let your will be done. Y'all maybe, I don't say, Father God, heal them, deliver them. Lord, let your will be done. If it's your will to put them out in the hog pen and let them sit there for a while, let them sit in the hog pen. And if it's your will to leave them on drugs for another 2 years, let them be on drugs. If it's your will to let them be evicted, let them be evicted. Because there's a reason why that you are trying to take them through that what they are going through. And I don't want to hinder your will. Here it is in a story. There was a unique situation, and I'm almost coming in, that was arriving at the pool in Bethesda. One thing I loved about it, he didn't deal with it on the level of the disciples. He dealt with it on the level of the multitude. They're laid. Watch this, y'all. In these, talking about pools, talking about porches, laid a great multitude of impotent folks. Let me break this down. A blind people. People who has been halted and people that was withering away, waiting for the moving of waters. Their hope lies in whether water moves or not in their lives. Now I'm beginning to understand what's my job, because there are people waiting on something from me. The scripture says, watch this, for an angel went down a certain season in the pool, and instead of me praying that God keep you, my job is to trouble the water. My job is to cause such a chaos in the atmosphere. Some people are waiting for you with your Holy Ghost-filled self to change and bring ripples in situations and circumstances that the water becomes troubled or agitated. We don't even understand our job because we don't understand what season it is.
Oh, I feel like teaching up in here.
Because you can't trouble the water in any season. It's got to be the right time for you to move and do something for God. God is looking for angels on this earthly realm because he don't use the heavenly angels anymore. I feel like preaching right now. Because we are doing the angels' jobs down here. He wants to use our hands and our feet. He wants to use the church today. He wants to put us in a position where we commanded people to do it for us. We got a job out here today. And the job is to trouble some waters in people's lives, to agitate a situation, to bring a little adversity from our praise and worship into the atmosphere, that things may change for folks.
Y'all ain't with me? That's fine. I'll preach to myself today.
There are a whole bunch of people waiting for us to do our jobs. Everybody want to be the big chief, but no Indians want to work anymore. We don't want to set the atmosphere with praise and worship that God may move. We don't want to set the atmosphere by praying the prayer that God will be done. We want to be the healer and the deliverer for ourselves. I feel like preaching up in here. We want to be the one who wins them under Christ, so we can say, I won you to church. Oh, my gosh. That's the whole purpose, the reason why we forcing folks to come into church these days, because we want to be the saving grace of people. That's not my job to save you. My job is just to stir up the water, set an atmosphere where God can move on our behalf. My job is to stir it up before you get there, that when you get there, you don't know who stirred it up. But we want to sit there with the pole and say, I'm doing the work. But we don't do it. God don't move like that. When the angel came, he came and he left. You got to understand your job is to set the atmosphere for those that cannot get there for themselves. Okay, Lord, I got you. So where I'm at with things is they have to have some angels of praise, some angels of worship, some angels of intercessory prayer. Those that are moving and people do not see them move. The beautiful part about all angels, they could not describe in the Bible, and it was not described what they look like. at the level when they was around folks, that some angels was there and they didn't even know they was there. They took on different shapes and forms. That I believe that we are considered to be today in the church is the angels moving with our angels that we are commanding. Jesus Christ said that he had a legion of angels that was at his beck and call. He was the most prominent angel of all. Hallelujah. And if y'all want to know what an angel is a ministering spirit of God. That's what your Holy Ghost is supposed to be, a ministering spirit of God. He's a chief angel right now inside heaven that resides inside of us on this earthly realm. So you need to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When they tell you to go, you need to go. When they tell you to do, you need to do. You need to stop your will. At this place and time, the scripture said the angel went down in a certain season to pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the trouble of the water, stepped in, was made whole, or whatsoever disease he had. Watch this, and this is where I met with a lot of the folks inside this ministry right now. A certain man was there. He had the infirmities. He had the infirmities for 38 years. He was wanting strength inside his body because it was weak for 38 years. He had a sickness that was causing him to be weak for 38 years. He was still mobile. He was still functioning. He was just weak. He was still mobile. He was still functioning. He was just weak. He was mobile. He was functioning. He was just weak in his functioning, his movements. That means he had the ability, but he wasn't using it at the fullness that he could because he didn't have the power of everyone else. That when the water was troubled, he could see that it was troubled, and he wanted to get there to the water, but it seemed like he couldn't get there fast enough. When Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been there a long time, in that case, in other words, he wasn't a long time at the pool. He seen that he was a long time in his situation. So which situation was he a long time in? Look at somebody say he was a long time feeling sorry for himself. He was in a pity party movement, a woe is me mentality. He was at a place where he really wasn't looking for healing and deliverance. He was at a place of contentment where he was okay and trying but not succeeding. He was getting more satisfaction out of watching everybody else than trying to go there for himself. Hallelujah. I'm at the place where some of us are right here, right now in the body of Christ, that we really have given up on our healing, our deliverance, and being more than conquerors. We're at a place where we okay as long as we in Bethesda. We okay as long as we sitting on a porch. But we really, really, really is not seeking healing, deliverance anymore. Oh my gosh, I'm going somewhere. We really not trying to be fully delivered. We just trying to live with our impetus. We really don't want to help to get out. We want help in how to deal with it where it's in, where we in it. But let me express to you that there's different people in the same place that you are, and you're not as bad as they are. They say that on the porches, in the pools, was impotent people, weak and feeble. But the weak and feeble had the ability, but they was weak. But they was also blind folks that couldn't see. So they didn't have the ability to see the water moving. Oh my. There's some folks that are in worse shape than you are. Hallelujah. And they still trying to get there. There was folks they said was halted. Oh my gosh. Halted means they stopped in movement. They had no ability to get there. And they said there was some folks that was withered, dried up. They've been there too long, where the little strength they had, they gave up on it. Oh, my God. If you do not go on where you are right now, being impotent, you're going to end up drying up. I'm fed up with you leaning on your mother's, your daddy's, your husband's anointing, pastor's anointing, or this church. God is trying to elevate you to a different level. Oh, my God. You got to get out the multitude, because a multitude have a mentality of gimme, 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 gimme. And God is coming by to visit you today to see and to ask you a couple of questions to see your response. And your response would dictate what would happen in your near future. When Jesus saw him lying and knew that he has been there a long time, in his situation, he said unto him, watch the question that was posed to him. Will thou be made whole? In other words, hey, dude, do you want to be made whole? Hold on. How can he ask this question to a person that's been sick for 38 years, watching the water move, and try to justify and say, every time I go to step there, I can't get there quick enough. Don't you see the condition that I'm in? And you're going to ask me, do I want to be made whole? What's wrong with you, God? Of course I want to be made whole. Evidently, you don't. For the question to be asked, he sees something that you don't see. He see that you really don't want to be made whole, because I'm here. You don't see me here. I summon angels to you. You worried about one person being blessed and not coming to bless you. Do you understand how I move? Do you understand how I function? I do not function off of people, places, or things. I function off of your response when I'm here. So what it's telling me, Sister Tawana, when God shows up, our response will dictate where he takes it after that. That's why a lot of us can't be blessed, because when God's there and his presence is here and we don't know even how to go to his presence, oh my gosh, because we're too busy looking at everybody else. We're too busy looking at our own situations. We're too busy making excuses of why we can't get there to Jesus. Oh, my gosh, that's all right. I'm by myself to stay. But I'm here to say the excuses run out. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being in it, you're going to make up in your mind it ain't nobody else's fault but your own. Hallelujah. So you can't blame pastor anymore. You can't blame this ministry anymore. You can't blame your mom, your dad anymore. It's you that wants to be in this condition that you are in. Watch his response. Sir, I have no man. It wasn't because the question only dictated a yes or no response. Hey, do you want to be made whole? You want to be healed? You want to be delivered? God told me to ask you that question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want salvation? Do you? Our response constantly is never yes or no. He can deal with the yes. He can deal with the no. Here we go. Being the deep, profound, so-called Christian that we think we are. I have no man. What do you mean you have no man? When is salvation takes more than one to partake in? Hallelujah. I have no man. What do you mean you have no man? When does salvation dictate me have to go on to Mike Jones to get to Jesus? Hallelujah. I don't need you to get what I got to get from God. But what's the problem is we've been raised up where our moms, our dads, and our spouses been sustaining us in the movements of God. They've been allowing us to sit in our feeble state and still get us into the presence of God. Hallelujah. That if they ain't there when God's come to visit us, we don't even know how to pray for ourselves. We don't know how to see God for ourselves. We don't know how to respond when God asks a question. Wait a minute, I need my lawyer, Marguerite, because she's the only one that can speak for me. I'm here to tell you, God will move her out of my way if I don't want to stay close to him. Maybe that's the reason why God has been bringing things between you and your loved ones or those that you've been latching onto, because he's tired of you using them as an incubator for him, a source of nourishment. That's why things are upside down in your life. That's why the controversy's been flowing and they ain't there. That's why he's been moving them. That's why there's been so much problems going on. Because the folks that helped them get there wasn't there. Folks that carried him and his bed wasn't there. So evidently, the people on this day got tired of dealing with him. That's a good thing when you get on folks' nerves. I got to cut you off. Some of y'all started crying that it's been cut off. Need to say, thank you, Lord. There's a reason why you're cutting me off. But what happens is we go look for somebody else to latch on to. That's why you got so many church hoppers. When leaders are set there to place folks into position where they have to choose to stand on their own, or to continue on being babes. That's what I'm preaching about on Wednesday night. The cost of discipleship. Changing over from a babe into a disciple. There's got to be a point in your life where you start discerning what's good and evil for yourself. And the problem is we don't want to take the time to discern for ourselves. You know the folks that irritates me is the folks that go by what they was taught when they was kids. They can quote a scripture that they've been hearing, been preached for many moons, and don't know what that scripture means. But they only use it when in the format that the preacher that we was raised up used it in. And when you go study the scripture, have nothing to do with what they're talking about. You ever seen folks say when you go talk to them about one thing, they totally somewhere else because they don't know what you're talking about. They don't know how to answer your question. They over there in right field because that's the only position they know how to play. Hallelujah. You can't tell them to pitch the ball because they don't know how to pitch. They only know how to play right field. But they know how to play it very well because they done seen and studied tapes on everybody else playing right field. That's why you got churches only preach about salvation. Churches only preach about grace. Churches only preach about happiness. And they ain't a total ministry because that's all they know. Those become people that would hinder the movement of God. Let me get back. Watch his response to the questions. I have no man. When the water is troubled, to what? Why would God ask him if he knew he didn't have the ability to do it on his own? God sent me to tell you, all of y'all in here may be impotent, but your lives is not halted. It haven't stopped. You're not blind. Well, you don't see the movement of God. So stop making excuses, waiting on somebody to do the work for you. I asked God why. God said, because they ain't taught yet. Because when you're taught, you keep on going harder and harder and harder. I don't know about you. I got sick and tired of going to jail. I got sick and tired of not of the drug nights. Love the drug nights. But the drug mornings. And some of y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. That's right. Some of y'all will. The drug nights was fun because you wasn't there. The drug mornings, when you remember the drug nights, those were horrible. I got tired of not sleeping, looking over my shoulder. I got sick and tired where I couldn't go nowhere and have peace. That when I go to jail, that was the most peace I had. That's an issue. But I don't care how much my mama prayed for me. I still had the ability in me to get to Jesus for myself. Even though I was impotent, my life was still flowing. Even though I was impotent, I'd seen Jesus move before. I wasn't blind. Even though I was impotent, I didn't dry up on the knowledge of Jesus Christ and who he was. That when he came on the scene, I recognized who he was. When he spoke to me, I knew that I could get there for myself. It may take a little longer than some other folks. I may have to drag myself there. But it's time out for the excuses of reason why you ain't saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Second problem that we have is we're always looking at other folks getting blessed before we do. Hallelujah. So we try to imitate how they get to the pool. When my situation is different than yours. And so if they get there before me, we limited God. God only can trouble the water one time. God only can heal one person. God can only come and do this. And then he don't see me. Where I love Jesus Christ in this situation, he took out the excuses that was inside this impotent man. You say that you can't get there, so I'm going to come to you. I'm here to tell you, he sent me here today to come to you. You say you can't get to Jesus, he's coming to you today. Hallelujah. He's speaking to you in your situation, laying on your bed, in your condition that you think that you cannot get up off of, and you have to live this life over and over and over again that is consuming your everyday movement, that you cannot be healed, delivered, and set free. So he sent me here today to not to trouble the water, but to come to you in the condition that you is outside of the water, so you can see that he cares about you so much that he's not asking you today to come to him. He's coming to you. Do not miss this opportunity today. Jesus said to him, offer his excuses. Watch what he said. I love God. You want to know really the true movement of God in words? God do not speak for a long time. His words are always short and abrupt and to the point. It's us as men that loves to people so much that we add on to what God's truly saying because we don't want to hurt your feelings. God is a God that don't care about hurting your feelings. He just care about getting to the situation. We'll go this long way around Robin Hood Bond where it only can take 4 or 5 words to help you out. He looked at the person in a condition of the hand, knowing that he had the ability to get out, and told him straight up this, arise. Rise up. Hold on. I'm confused. You didn't think that I was getting up all this time for 38 years to get there? Evidently you didn't. For 38 years, you really wasn't trying. Stop blaming God, because it ain't God the reason why you still in it. You just haven't rised up out of it. Rise means use your own ability. Do something to get up off of the bed. Anybody just was been lazy and tired and didn't want to get out of the bed? Come on, let's be honest with each other. He just said, and you have enough just to roll over. When one side get to hurting, you'll roll back over to the other side. Can we be honest? They say that's a form of depression. But if you can ever get up out of the bed, everything's going to be what? Do you know that blood movement is better when you're standing up than when you? Do you know the laying down effect? Diseases sets in, bed sores comes on, body cannot digest food correctly. Do you understand that you're in a position that you are in is causing you to be impotent or feeble? So what he told the guy is, your constant lying down is the reason why you are not healed. In other words, you laying down in your mess constantly day after day is the only reason why you are not healed. I don't care how much ability you have. If you can just sit up, you are in a different position than lying down. If you roll over on all fours, you may not be standing there, but the blood is moving. We think that we are supposed to go from a lying down state to a running state instantly with God. That's the biggest lie that anybody told you. He needs for you to try. And if you try, he'll give you step two.
I always was told all he do is do one step, he do the rest.
He gave him a second commandment. Rise first. Second one was what? Stop making it comfortable for yourself. Number two, if you get up out of the bed, turn around and look at the bed, you'll crawl back in the bed. But if you get up and make up the bed and start working around the bed, you have less tendency to get back.
Some of y'all don't even comprehend that movement.
In other words, remove the temptations out of your life that is a crush to keep you lying down. Make up the bed, then you don't want to mess up the bed. Put away the cot, you don't want to pull it back out again. If you make it more difficult for you to go back, it's easier to go forward.
Let me go to the everyday situation and scenarios. Is it okay?
If you tell the joker off, don't call me, don't pick up the phone, lose my number, lose where I live, and if you do call again, I'm changing it.
Can he call you?
Delete his number.
I always wonder why in the city of, in the valley of Achan, when they sinned, that the children of Israel took all of Achan and his clans out and stoned them to death. That ain't what they all they did. Then they set them on fire, everything that they had. When you burn it totally up, somebody may not have been dead in the stoning. They could have played dead. Oh, let me help some of y'all.
A good gift of gab person knows when to talk. Ain't right, Bo? And when not to talk.
Bo had the gift of gab. Shorty.
Know when to leave you alone for a season and when to come back. Let me express to you, unless you burn it up, they'll be back. Unless you dig up the root, it'll grow again.
Somebody cut down a tree in our front yard. Literally cut it off, cut it down. About a year later, we seen it start growing. Now we got a tree up this tall, prettier than the first one.
It'll grow back. The problem is you want it to grow back. You want to lay back down. That's why you won't.
Your hopes is, I can win them unto Christ. I can get them saved. I can. Because if I get them saved, who is going to be good? No, you can't. Let me express this to every last one of y'all in here. You cannot get anyone saved. And you laying up there thinking that your means and method is getting them saved?
It's only one way a person will come into salvation. If they sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Are you tired yet? Is the only question you need to ask anybody.
Last one. Was he told them to walk. And I love this one because this one was a little different than actually word walk really means or we think it means. It means to get
or to move on your own ability. Let me express this to you. He told them to rise, take up thy bed, and guess what happened? When he stopped looking at the situation and he listened and made up his mind that he was sick and tired of being an impotent person, when he rose, he automatically picked up the bed and walked. The scripture said immediately he was made whole. So my problem is our response to what he's telling us is not being done. One of the three steps you truly have not surrendered over to. Because I'm a firm believer, because you're not sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired in your situation. When you wonder what tomorrow may bring, then you're in a multitude. Because the number one thing he told the disciples was, don't worry about tomorrow.